So today evening, we would like to welcome all of you for this ecstatic festival celebrating the appearance day of Lord Balaram. He already appeared in the afternoon according to Tithi, but is kind enough to extend the period till the evening so that all of us can participate in it. Now, sometimes because of the present day modern scenario, one is not able to celebrate one's birthday on weekdays, so we postpone it to the weekends. So that is for our own pleasure, but Baldavji, Balaram, also known as Baldavji, he does it. He inspires the devotees to celebrate his festivals, although his appearance tithi or the time is in the afternoon, so that we can get benefit from it. Before we begin, or rather we've already begun, so there's a beautiful There is a special prayer that I wanted to chant with all of you. So if you can just repeat after me, this is a nice invocation prayer for Lord Balaram. Om Balabhadro Ramabhadro Rama Sankarshanochyutaha Revati Ramano Devaha Kama Palo Halayudhaha. So, this invocation is describing the qualities of Lord Balaram. We began the invocation with the traditional prefix of Om, which is to invite auspiciousness. And Balabhadra is the possessor of all bala, strength, and also auspiciousness, Bhadra. Ramabhadra, the one who is a supreme enjoyer and also auspicious. Ramaha, one who is pleasure personified. Sankarshanaha, very attractive, all attractive. Achyutaha, infallible. Revati Ramano, one who gives pleasure to Mother Revati. Devaha, the supreme personality of Godhead. Kamapalo, fulfills all desires. So this is an important part of the invocation. Halayudhaha, who carries the plow. Right, so we are invoking the presence of Lord Balaram, who is auspicious, the reservoir of all pleasure, and who essentially fulfills the desires of all of his devotees. I'm looking a little disturbed here because there was a wonderful narration that I had which is missing, and I don't know where it has gone missing. So yes, can you come over this way? So he is going to help me try to find out, because there is some connection between the narration and him on the notes. Anyway, so till he comes back, There's a beautiful narration from the Shastra. It is from, Gopala Champu. I wanted to begin with that narration. It describes how Krishna and Balaram have grown up in Vrindavan. And they are now taking pleasure in moving around the land of Vrindavan. And Balaramji has his own group of friends, and Krishna has his own group of friends. Right? So Balaramji is having his own activities, and he's engrossed in that. And much of his activities involve singing, dancing, frolicking. And he's in a very good mood. So he's particularly dancing very attractive steps. And all of the members of his group are focused on him. And then as they are moving around Vrindavan, they happen to come upon Krishna's group. And Krishna is also dancing about with his own group of friends. So Balaramji is so much engrossed with his devotees, with his friends, that he is unaware of external circumstances. So Krishna gives an indication with his eyes to his friends that there's time for some mischief here. So all of his friends become energized and they pick up loads and loads of colors in their hand, colored minerals in their hand. And they start pounding the group of Balaram with that. So Balaram is intoxicated in his dancing, and Lord Balaram is unaffected in one sense, but the group that is with Balaram, they become fearful. Yes, thank you so much here. They become fearful and they start running away. At that point of time, Balaramji, because he feels that now I'm all alone, suddenly he feels that there's no support. So then he becomes aware of his external circumstances. So Balaramji opens his beautiful eyes and looks at what is happening around. Before we go further, because I know you are interested, this is a pastime not everyone has heard before. So it has captured our attention right now. But before that, there is a beautiful point in relationship to Balaram, his quality, which is generally not really very much expressed. Okay, let me do this. How many devotees here, how many people in the members of the audience have heard of Lord Balaram? Please raise your hands. Okay, those who have not heard of Balaram, please raise your hands. Oh, sorry. Okay, there are a few who have not heard of Balaram. So Balaram is this personality here, white-colored, you know, fair-colored personality, which is arm on the blue-colored personality. So the blue color plus personality is Krishna and the other one is Balaram. For those of you who have not heard of Balaram. Anyways, so the experiment is successful. Most of us have here a knowledge of Balaram. When you hear of Balaram, what comes to mind first of all? About his qualities, what comes to the mind? Okay, you can shout out. Powerful, strength, okay, anger. Sorry? Service attitude, yep. Okay, that's it. Someone here mentioned one quality very softly. Yes. Can you speak out loudly? Beautiful. Okay, let me read out a statement from the first canto, third chapter by Srila Prabhupada, founder Acharya. He says, the incarnations of Ram and Dhanvantari, Ram means Dashrath Nandan Ram, they displayed the fame of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the fame potency. And the incarnations of Balaram, Mohini, and Vamana exhibited his beauty. So Lord Balaram is also the beauty potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we are going to now describe the beautiful form of Lord Balaram as mentioned in the scriptures. Powerful Lord Balaram is 16 years old, always, full of luster of youth, and has a fair complexion, the color of crystal. Balaram wears blue garments and a garland of forest flowers. Balaram's beautiful hair is tied in a graceful top knot. Splendid earrings adorn Balaram's ears. Shri Baladev's neck is splendidly decorated with garlands of flowers and strings of jewels. Splendid bracelets and armlets ornament Dauji's graceful and strong arms. Balaram's feet are decorated with splendid jeweled anklets. Shri Baladev is Krishna's dearest friend. Baladev is the reservoir of the nectar mellows of many kinds of transcendental pastimes. Lord Balaram's beauty is enhanced by the earrings touching his cheeks. His face is decorated with tilak made from musk, and Balaram's broad chest is ornamented with gunja, small red, black, and white berries. Shri Baladev's voice is very grave, and his arms are very long, touching his thighs. So this is the beautiful description of Lord Balaram. So, in the morning class, much of the principle or the tattva of Lord Balaram was discovered. The truth of Lord Balaram was discussed. So, in short, we'll just do it in a couple of minutes later on. But essentially, Srila Prabhupada says, Balaram is Krishna with a fair complexion. And that is how he's so beautiful. He is the beauty potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yes. And how beautiful is he? Just like a freshly formed spring cloud. That is his bodily complexion. Well, that appears to be the beauty that attracts the pens of poets. You know, the freshly formed spring cloud. But even that spring cloud feels ashamed in front of Balaram's beautiful complexion. Their aspiration, the spring cloud's aspiration, is someday let us have an iota of the reflection, the sparkling reflection of Lord Baladev's complexion. That is their dreams, dream to come true, of the clouds, the spring clouds, freshly formed spring clouds. So here is a beautiful prayer which meditates on, deep prayer, an interesting prayer that meditates on the beauty of Lord Balaram. Spura damalakiritam kinkini kankanarham chaladalaka kapolam kundala shrimukhabjam tohinagirimanogyam neelamegambaradhyam halamushala vishalam kamapalam samide. Yes. So, let us meditate, samide. Let us meditate on the beautiful form of Lord Balaram. How is this? Spurata amalakiritam kinkini kankanaram. His beautiful form is decorated with a kirita, with a glittering. And how is a kirita? It is spurata amala. A glittering helmet, a glittering crown. Kinkini kankanarham. And there are beautiful glistening earrings decorating both of his ears. Kankanarham. And they are making tinkling sounds which attract the hearts of even Cupid. Cupid has a special potency to attract people by sound also. He creates a beautiful, gets the Vidyadharas together and plays beautiful sound instruments, vibrates them. But even Cupid gets attracted just by the tinkling of the glistening earrings of Lord Balaram. Chalat alaka kapolam kundala shri mukhabjam. And chalat alaka kapolam, And his head, kapola, is decorated with glistening black hair like a raven's. Balram's hair does not need any shampooing. It does not need oils. They're naturally beautiful. And they beautify his face. Alaka kapolam kundalak shri mukhabjam. And this combination, this kundala and this combination of his beautiful hair, his mukha is just like a lotus, super attractive. Tohinagiri manogyam neela megham baradhyam. And he decorates himself with blue garments, neela ambara, right? Garments which are bluish like the sky. It's just an upama, it's a way of trying to describe. However, tohinagiri manogyam. How does these ornaments look? How does this blue garment look on him? As if the blue sky has come down and is decorating a mountain peak, a beautiful mountain peak covered in the glory of snow and ice. Yes? So Balaram's beautiful, white, glistening form is there. And on that is the blue, attractive garments. Halam ushala vishalam kama palam samide. Halam ushala vishalam. And in his hands he holds the hala, the plow, and a mushala. What is mushala? The club, yes. Thank you. The club. Those are the weapons that decorate his arms, his hands. Kama palam samide. So, in this way, Lord Balaram, in this embodiment of all beauty, has appeared simply to fulfill all of our desires. Kama palam samide. So let us meditate on this beautiful form of Lord Balaram. Giriraj Swami Maharaj, in the lecture that in the morning Gaurgopal Prabhu, the speaker, was mentioning, he was referring to, in that very lecture he says, the goal of life is to approach Radha and Krishna. But Radha and Krishna are very, very, they are a mystery. Or they are the best of this jewels which are kept in a secret place. Yes? And that is the goal of life, to attain those beautiful jewels, to get to attain service unto the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. But Srila Prabhupada says, to approach Radha and Krishna, we need the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. To approach the abode of Vrindavan, we need the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we have to approach Lord Nityananda. And then Prabhupada further says, to approach Lord Nityananda, we have to go and do services to the Jagais and Madhais. He says, that is Gopi Bhartu Pada Kamalayor Das 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 Anudas. The servant of Jagais and Madhais. In 2005, Braj Bihari Prabhu was giving a lecture on Balaram Jayanti, and he was quoting, Bhurijan Prabhu and Jagat Tarini Mataji. Prabhupada was in one lecture speaking that Lord Nityananda delivered one Jagai and Madhai, and we are delivering hundreds of Jagais and Madhais. So, what does it mean? It means our job is cut out. Prabhupada he says, as along with the Guru Acharya Parampara, is delivered all. We don't have to look for Jagai and Madhais anymore. He's delivered them, we have to serve them. Right? Sometimes we feel, okay, let us take the task and find out Jagais and Madhais and serve them. No, they're delivered. We just have to start serving the devotees who have been delivered in the Hare Krishna movement. So He says, however, Lord Nityananda is very, very merciful. And this principle has to be understood to approach Lord Balaram. See, Lord Balaram, this tattva, this absolute truth, he is a resident of Vrindavan. And Vrindavan is a very special abode. Somehow or the other, we have lost the right to even begin to think of approaching Vrindavan. We lost it many ages and eons of lifetimes back. And we in the present Kali Yuga, we have no other chance other than to just beg the mercy of Lord Nityananda. He's Lord Balaram. But when Balaram comes with a special package for the people in Kali Yuga, it is called the Audharya package. The package of extreme mercy. Extreme munificence. Then one can approach Lord Balaram in Vrindavan, in Braj. We can approach his beauty, we can approach his mercy. So we have to remember Lord Balaram as Lord Nityananda. They are the same personality. It is just that one has come with a special package, you know, a special party dress. Balaram has come in a special party dress in Kali Yuga for the Kali Yuga party of chanting and dancing. And the party dress is, it is made up of mercy. Full mercy. So, Srila Prabhupada says, he explains that how is this mercy available? He says, sometimes a king of a province and extreme wealth who has loads and loads of jewels and precious stones in his treasury, he becomes intoxicated. And in his intoxicated state, he just goes and opens the treasury and says, oh, what is here? Okay, this looks like something that can, you know, be distributed. So he takes them out and says, hey, you take some. Hey, you take the other. And someone comes and asks him, you're distributing precious jewels. So he says, so what? I like distributing it. In that intoxicated state, he just goes on distributing it freely. And then someone, his you know, maybe his brother or his wife or some relatives or the future inheritors, they come and say, how do you have the right to distribute? He says, who else has the right to distribute? I am the king of this province. So this is my right now. He says, Nityananda, Lord Nityananda is the king of Kali Yuga to distribute freely the precious jewel of the love of Vrindavan. And only through Lord Nityananda can we even begin to approach Lord Balaram. So we seek the mercy of Lord Nityananda to approach Lord Balaram. How is that? Let me give you a small example. Very soon we are going to have Janmashtami festival here. It's a magnificent festival. And please come. However, be forewarned. You see, on 364 days of the year, or sometimes 363 actually, nowadays 2 days are gone. 363 days of any given year, 364 or 362 of a leap year, you have free entry through any number of doors of this temple. But on the day of Janmashtami, you have to, you know, the gate from right there, there is a special queue that will be formed for darshan, for all of us. And that day we have to follow that law, because if you want to take the darshan of the Lord on that day, then we have to follow. You cannot say, oh, 362 days, it was free, this, that, like that, like that. So similarly, in Kali Yuga, one has to line up behind Lord Nityananda. The other ages, Lord Balaram was available. There's still a bit of difference, and I'll explain that also through an analogy. In the other ages, Lord Balaram was available. One could approach Lord Balaram. And how one could approach that, I'll explain just in a few minutes, in a couple of minutes from now. However, in Kali Yuga, Krishna, Balaram, Lord, the abode of Vrindavan, the mercy of Vrindavan, all of that has to be approached through Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And without them, one will miss out on the real darshan. So what is a real darshan? And now that we have accepted that this is going to be one of those, you know, days of the... Kali Yuga is only 4 lakh years actually, you know. Sati Yuga is 4 times, so 17 lakh. And Dwapara Yuga... Okay. So together, the other years, they total up to almost 16... No, I think so more than that. 12, 29... and 37 to 38 lakh years. Kaliyuga is only 4 lakh years. So comparatively, proportionately, it is like 3 days out of a year only. Yeah, waiting in line. However, in the other years, as I explained in the morning, in the other ages, approaching Lord Balaram was through the rasas of Shant and Dasya. The special rasa of Vatsalya, Sakhya and Madhurya are fully revealed in Kali Yuga through Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And in the morning we discussed that to great detail. How Lord Balaram serves as a friend, how he serves in conjugal relationship as also as elder brother. And in detail we discussed about how he serves as a servant too. Right? So, previously, in the previous Janmashtamis that we used to have, people had to walk all the up all the staircase, you know, to our temple here, and Charanamrit would be available behind. Somehow or the other, the system was Charanamrit could sometimes be available, would be available behind, and there was some chaos there till we came up with a system here. And the system was that no one panic, everyone will get their share of good share of Charanamrit downstairs. Devotees will take the trouble to bring it downstairs and everyone can have, enjoy the ambrosial nectar of Charanamrit and Janmashtami. So previously, people would get Charanamrit, but it was after struggle and they would get little more, something like that. But now, in Kali Yuga, the Charanamrit has been brought down by Lord Nityananda. And everyone is reassured their share. Whatever rasa you want, it will be available to you, provided we take shelter of Sri Sri Gaur Nithai. Yes? So, with that, we would like to go ahead on describing the glories of Lord Balaram. So, Lord Balaram, one of the qualities, who is he? The beauty, potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, other than the other understanding that we had in the morning, that he is the servitor principle of Godhead also. Actually, in one sense, there is only one true servant of Lord Balaram, of Lord Krishna, and that is Baladev. Everyone else learns from Baladev and shares of his facility to serve Krishna. We partake and share of his facility to serve Lord Krishna. So, okay, let me go back to the pastime that I began with, Anand Vrindavan Champu. It is in Anand Vrindavan Champu, not Gopal Champu. So, Balaram opened his eyes and looked around. Where are my friends? They have all been driven away by Krishna's friends. So, Balaram, he becomes energized. So he captures all their storehouse of colored minerals. He is Balaram. So he has a lot of strength. So he just goes and takes everything and starts shooting balls of different colors at all the different participants that were there in Krishna's group. Krishna, in the meantime, is simply playing his flute very merrily and in a tune that is expressing that, just see, my friends have driven away your friends. So that is also encouraging Lord Balaram to be very active in throwing these balls on the friends of Krishna. Suddenly the friends, all these friends who know who is Krishna, who is Balaram, initially they fall back. But hearing Krishna's encouragement in the form of his flute, they all, as if by a mystical potent thread, they all come together and pounce on Lord Balaram from all sides and cover him with mountains and mountains and mountains of colors. Balaram is nowhere to be seen. At that time, Krishna blows the whistle, the referee's whistle, and says, "No good, no good. This is not correct. All of you ganging up on Balaram like this, this is not very good. After all, he is my elder brother." Right? So here, who is Balaram? He is the elder brother of Krishna. That is his position. Who is Balaram? Now, within that, Anand Vrindavan Champu, Kavi Karnapur describes beautifully this scene. Moved by the emotions of comedy, pride and anger, Baladev's complexion assumed a reddish hue, appearing just like a diamond pillar, a pristine white diamond pillar embraced by red lotuses, by red colors. The majestic form of Balaram shone like a huge crystal bud, reflecting the red Jaba flower. Jaba flowers, I have no idea what they are, but they are very red in color. If someone knows, you can enlighten me. Or like a proud pinnacle of ice touched by the first rays of the pink sun. Baladev looked as elegant as a mountain of white lotuses covered by a forest of pink lotuses inhabited by chakravak birds, black. He looked like a full moon anointed with sindoor, vermilion, glowing in the red evening sunset. So, here also again, the beauty of Lord Balaram is beautifully revealed. There is a wonderful prayer which describes again this aspect of Balaram. Taraksha kiranakshascha bimbhostha susmeta chava karindra karako danda prachando mega mandala kapata vaksha peenamsha padma padas furadyutihi mahabibhutir bhutesho bandha mokshi samikshanaha. What does this verse say? His eyes are like glittering stars. His nose is graceful like a parrot's beak. His lips are red like a bimba fruit. His gentle smile is splendid and glorious. His arms are like the elephant's trunks. He is ferocious and splendid like a host of monsoon clouds. His chest is like a massive, beautiful door to a fortress. His shoulders are broad. His feet are like splendid lotus flowers. He is powerful and glorious. He is the master of all living entities. He is the liberator from material bondage. And he is the most wise and intelligent. Shri Balaram Ji ki Jai. So, now, one of these standing out qualities of Lord Balaram, which is actually his very existence, is that he is service personified. And it has been described that how he serves in five various tastes or mellows. He just expands himself in various ways, like the Lord's bed, his dress, so on and so forth. That was all covered in the morning. One aspect which I would like to explain is how he serves as a dham, as Vrindavan dham. That is also his service. He supports the Lord, his Lord's activities, he supports the Lord's devotees and all those who want to become devotees and come to Vrindavan dham. And how does he do his service? What is a servant? Is expressed through Lord Balaram's service as Dham of Vrindavan. He says, sometimes Krishna at night is staying at Gokul in his palace, or rather he's also staying at Nandagaon in his palace, in the palace of his father, Nanda Baba. And then he has to meet his dearmost friends and associates at Vanchivat, which is on the banks of the Jamuna. And today if we calculate it with our measurement scale, then it is 37 miles away. And Krishna within seconds reaches there. He does not take a lift, does not fly in the Pushpak Viman or something like that. Does not even call Garuda. He just walks. He does not expand himself, nor does it take a giant leap like Hanumanji. He just walks casually. And Balaram, as the abode of Vrindavan, the Goswamis explain, especially Rupa Goswami explains, he manifests himself just like a lotus flower. The center of the lotus is there with whorls around. And because it is night time, the lotus closes and the petals come together. So during the day, Vamshivat is on one end of the world there. But at night, simply to enhance Krishna's pastimes, Balaramji makes Vamshivat come closer. Now that is a servant. And that is potency. That is bala. That is strength. To make distances come closer. Only for the purpose of enhancing Krishna's pastime. And then something more interesting is revealed by acharyas following the Goswamis. Is that a love note? Okay. Alright. They say our Sanatan Goswami, a follower of Lord Chaitanya, he would reside at Giriraj sometimes, but also he would reside in Brajdhan, in Vrindavan, on the banks of the Jamuna. You know, at Dwadash Aditya Teel, he would reside there, close to Lord Shankar, Gopeshwar Mahadev. Now, Shankar has expanded as Bankhandi Mahadev. So he'd stay there. So one day he decided, let me go and do parikrama of Giriraj. Now, all of us who have been to Vrindavan, we know Giriraj is at least 25 to 30 kilometers away. So he walked to Giriraj, then they did the parikrama of 22 kilometers of Giriraj, right? Actually, he did the 40 kilometer parikrama. And you can imagine how much time it takes. Then after that, he decided to go across the Jamuna to Gokul to do Madhukari, the afternoon Madhukari. And after doing Madhukari there and interacting with the residents of Gokul there, our Sanatan Goswami, he decided that... Where did he decide to go? Yeah, he decided to come back to Braj. In one day, he covered a total of 108 kilometers. Now, an average human at a quick pace can travel 4 to 5 kilometers per hour. Now, this is Sanatan Goswami at an advanced age. You know, when people retire, so Sanatan Goswami was in the retirement age. He did not retire actually, but he was in the retirement age. He covered 108 kilometers. At 5 kilometers an hour, how many hours would it have been taken non-stop? And Sanatan Goswami did not go and touch, you know. He wasn't touching bases as in a baseball game or scoring runs, you know. Crease from far and run back for a second run. Not like that. Giriraji, darshan, nice prayers. Gokul, Madhukari, like that, come back to Vrindavan. Yes? How? Because Baladev, as a servant of the servant of the servant, 108 kilometers done. But that requires so much of surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead for him to interact in, you know, with his devotees. So, this is another attitude. Or this is another aspect of Lord Balaram's being a servant. As a dham, he serves Krishna. Chaitanya Charitamrit, Kaviraj Goswami, he explains about Nityananda Prabhu or Balaram, how he expands in five forms. And he says, he explains as Sankarshanashkaranato Yashai Garbhodachai Chapayobdashai and so on and so forth. The last expansion is Shesha, Ananta Shesha. Ananta because unlimitedly he serves the Supreme Personality of God, and Shesh because beyond him there is no more service remaining. It's the end. All, you know. It's if there's a movie called Service of Krishna, then Balaramji is the beginning, the middle, and the end of that movie. Shesha. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he comments on Baladev Vidya Bhushan's commentary on this verse and this aspect of Balaram being Shesha. He says, as Shesha, what is he doing? As Ananta Shesha in the form of a snake, generally we have this understanding that he becomes the bedstead of Krishna as in the form of his Narayan form, you know, on which Krishna lies, the bed of Krishna. And he's also supporting the universes. Right? That is Shesha, isn't it? And again, 2005, Braj Bihari Prabhu, our Braj Bihari Prabhu from a temple of Brahmachari, he mentioned a wonderful point. He says, Balaramji is the support of everything. A partial expansion of Balaram, or forget, partial expansion of Balaram is Shesha, and a partial expansion of Shesha is Garuda. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when the churning, just before the actual churning took place, all the demigods, they had to lift the Mandara Parvat. These demigods are powerful, powerful, and the demons together. You know, the who's who of the WWF scenario of the past. World Heavyweight Federations. All of them had gathered to lift up the Mandara mountain, and they were going, like that, really struggling. And this wasn't a competition where they lift up for 1 minute and put it down. They had to carry it all the way to the Kheera, the ocean of milk. And they couldn't do it. The best of the universe, not just of America, India, a puny little planet in the universe, not like that. The best of the universe had come and they had given way. And then the demigods, they prayed to Lord Krishna and Lord Vishnu. He came flying on Garuda and nonchalantly just said, okay, just move out. He did not even have to say that, they had already moved out. Some of them were squashed, they couldn't move out. So by his glance, he revived all of them. And then he just picked up the peak of Mandara Mountain like this. He just picked it up effortlessly. And we know it is so easy for him to do it. He's Bhagawan, God. Obviously he can do it, right? Obviously. But what is interesting is after that he went and sat on Garuda, and Garuda nonchalantly started flying. Now who is more powerful here? Who is holding who? Right, they should give the WWF that belt to Garuda Dev forever. There's no challenge to him. Right, and Garuda wasn't like, oh, he wasn't taking rest. He was just blissfully flying. Right, and that Garuda Dev, our Garuda Dev, is a partial expansion of Shesha. And this Shesha is holding up all the universes on his head. And do you know what is his condition? He is never stationary, because if he becomes stationary, the entire universe will become stationary, and that is not good for us. We need the earth to revolve, we need the solar system to rotate, we need the seasons, we need it. It is our requirement, and we call it this rotational movement of the earth and the gravitational pull of the planet. It is all Lord Baladev moving. And he is moving, his motion is because constantly he is hearing the glories of Lord Krishna. And anyone who hears the glories of Lord Krishna, the kirtan of Lord Krishna, their feet never are stationary. So they are intoxicated like this. And Balaram's intoxication brings about wonderful movements of the oceans and the movements of the earth and the seasons and the rising and the setting of the suns, the asteroids and the planets and the stars. But when the demoniac population in the universe increases, and the screams and cries of Mother Earth, and the screams and cries of those who are being exploited, it surpasses the glorious chanting of Hare Krishna. And Balaramji is no longer getting intoxicated. As Shesha, he gets angry. And when he gets angry, he really moves. And there's a tsunami or an earthquake or a violent volcano erupting. Therefore, let us all chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So that Balaramji just gently goes on swaying in a very, very intoxicated state. So, chanting Hare Krishna is not an option, please. And it is not something that should be done just because it has to be done there. Please put emotions into it, otherwise you may know what will happen. Balaramji will become. And he gets, sometimes when he bursts flames, they go through the universal coverings and come to the earth and burst out as volcanoes. Bloop, and all the flights are cancelled. Like that. Yeah. Okay. So, important principle from Shesha is that he sustains the entire material universe on his head, and Shesha also sustains Lord Narayan on his bed. So sustains material principle and the spiritual principle. He's a support for that. And Braj Bihari Prabhu mentioned something very nice. He said, and who's supporting him? No one. Because Krishna is on him. Right? But Krishna's potency is there in Balaram, and that is what is sustaining Balaram. Yes, that is what is sustaining Balaram. So, this brings us to the topic of that sometimes Lord Balaram's his pastimes appear to be a little difficult to understand, sometimes even contradicting that which Krishna does. It appears like that. That point is raised occasionally, and discussions do raise that. Why is he so against? It appears he's against Krishna. And then we obviously resolve by saying these are the two supreme personality of Godhead. One likes this, the other likes just the opposite, like that. But they are united on one aspect. That, what is that? Krishna is the enjoyer, and I am to be enjoyed by Krishna. I have to serve Krishna's enjoyment. Balaram knows that he has to serve Krishna's enjoyment. Krishna knows that he has to enjoy whatever Balaram offers him. So they are united on that principle. They stay united. Now let us approach this principle through the idea of Shesh supporting both the material and the spiritual principles. Okay? Now Balaramji is closely connected with Mahabharat. And again, Balaramji likes Duryodhan and Krishna likes Arjuna and Bhimasen. So let us come to the episode where Bhimasen is fighting with Duryodhan at the end of the war, and Balaram happens to come there. And many a times we present this as Balaram happened to come, so all the Pandavas became a little bit concerned. Okay? Now he is here, what are we going to do? And Krishna has already given his indication. You know, Krishna just, he doesn't pat, no, Krishna is not Dushyasan, I think. Dushyasan did that. Or was it Duryodhan? Duryodhan did that, not Dushyash. Krishna is not Dushyash. Krishna is Krishna. So all he did was just take off his dhoti, like, as if a gist of air had just blown and his dhoti had blown away. And Bhimsen was sensitive enough to catch it, because Bhimsen is always sensitive to whatever Krishna does. Now, although Bhimsen may appear very, very jada, very, very powerful, and powerful people, you know, our Bhimsen in the Mahabharat serial did not look very active. But our Bhimsen from the original Mahabharat, penned down by Vyasadev, that Bhimasen is very agile and is always very sensitive to whatever Krishna does. Right? So he immediately noticed, it is not that Bhimasen is looking at Krishna and says, help me, not like that. But he's sensitive. He's Tasmat Sarveshu Kaleshu Mam Anusmara Yudhacha. That is a principle. He's always sensitive to Krishna being there and what is Krishna's desire. Despite all his engrossment in Duryodhan fighting with him. That is the art of balancing. These devotees, they have perfected this art. Therefore, they become our role models. We can pray for their blessings. So anyways, Balaram's appearance there is for a specific purpose. The purpose is to support Duryodhan, because material principle, Duryodhan embodies a material principle of strength and chivalry. And he has dedicated himself completely to Balaram to learn from him as a good student. It is not that Balaram is simply a simpleton. It's not just that. It's not just, you know, we can say, you know, Balaram gets easily pleased, so Duryodhana was very chalak and he did that. He put his heart into his training. And wherever there is a heart, the body follows. Or the blessings come there. So Balaramji gave his blessings to Duryodhan because Duryodhan learned from him so very well the techniques of fighting, the art, the kala. He was an artist in the art of club warfare. Bhimasen was all muscle. Duryodhan was an artist. Right? When he would fight, it was like a ballet dance, actually. So Balaramji, Duryodhan has taken that principle from him, so Balaramji has come to give him that principle. But Bhimasen's principle is to follow Krishna's orders. Now, where will the strength for that come from? It has to come from Balaram. So Balaram has come there to support Bhimasen also and give him that strength follow Krishna's order. Because in this case, see, when Krishna was with Arjuna and he was fighting with Karna, he told him, kill, shoot. Arjuna put forward a doubt and Krishna said, okay, your answer is this now. You're satisfied? Now shoot your arrows. But he could not say, Bhimasen, Jange Pemar. He had to do it in a very subtle way. And to understand subtle instructions of Krishna, it is always very, very safe to go through the principle of Balaram. And Balaram knew this. He knew that Bhimasen is going to need his help. So he was present there. And it was Balaram's strength together with Krishna's instructions that Bhimasen applied. But the material principle was also there. So Balaramji, after Duryodhan was defeated, he withdrew because he accepted Krishna's desire. So that principle was explained in the morning. So Balaramji as Shesh supports all the spiritual and material worlds. Okay, all strength comes from Sri Balaram. So in one sense it can be contradictory, but from another point of view, it isn't. It isn't. Balaram is always supporting anyone. He gives them the strength to carry out Krishna's desires and orders. That is his life and soul. All right. Okay. So that is about who is Balaram. Now, some pastimes of Lord Balaram, in a short time we have to cover that. Braj Bihari Prabhu again, it was interesting, I remember it very clearly. He said the three P's of today's Balaram's lecture: position, pastimes and prayer. So to some extent we've discussed about the position. Now let us go to the pastimes of Lord Balaram. One of his pastimes from the Nectar of Devotion that I very much liked. Actually, not a pastime, but actually an instructive pastime. Once in the assembly of the Yadus, Balaramji went off to sleep. Actually, it was an assembly in the late evenings, so Balaramji was tired, he went off to sleep. And as he was slumbering on in deep sleep, Balaramji started muttering, "Oh, lotus-eyed Krishna, your childhood adventures are manifest simply according to your will. Therefore, please dispose of the stubborn pride of this Kaliya serpent." And when Balaram just said like that, everybody in the assembly was astonished and they started giggling. You know, like Balaram just talking, he's a grave person, talking in his sleep like that, started giggling. But Rupa Goswami says, this is an instance of sleepiness in ecstatic love. What to speak of Arjuna remembering Krishna at the time of sleeping? Balaram remembers Krishna always. And he's engrossed in his pastimes even when he's sleeping. He's always in ecstatic love. And what happened after this? Rupa Goswami says, after narrating this, Balaramji yawned. He yawned so hard that the beautiful folds on his stomach started rippling. And he turned over and he shut off this pastime from everyone who was around. For a brief moment, he revealed that pastime. It was like a window into Balaram's spiritual consciousness. And then he shut it off. Sufficient enough to get a lesson. Anyways, some of the pastimes of Balaram is he killed where he was very active. He was always with Krishna. Except on two occasions, he was always with Krishna. This time, it is explained in the Krishna book and also in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto that Krishna and Balaram, when they would roam into the forest, the trees which were super laden with delicious fruits, they would all bend down to offer their wares, their fares to Krishna out of love. And Krishna would look at all these trees and he would, you know, start praising Balaramji and says, "You are the supreme personality of Godhead. You are the eldest amongst all of us and the most respectable. Just look at your potency. Even these trees they are so much affected by you, by your love and affection, that they are bending down in respect to touch your lotus feet. Now we know these trees are actually very jada, they are in a very gross body. But the trees in Vrindavan are not ordinary conditioned souls. They are exalted yogis who somehow or the other, because of the impersonal conception of life, could not complete their journey of spiritual emancipation. So they have taken their birth in Braj. And now they are completing their journey by offering respects unto the lotus feet, because they want to get your blessings. They want to get the dust of your lotus feet and thus perfect their lives. And also all the earth and the breeze and the birds and the bees, all of them are simply existing for your pleasure. And this is why he was glorifying Lord Balaram. At how everyone is offering him respects. Now one day as they were doing this, there was a sweet aromatic smell of tala fruits. Now tala fruits are as intoxicating as hundreds of pizzas, but much more sweet. Okay? Maybe thousands of them, I'm not sure. Anyway. So the cowherd boys, they told Krishna and Balaram, hey, come on, we need, they simply go waste, you know. Come on, let's get some tala fruits. Once Srila Prabhupada was traveling in a train from Delhi, and he asked his devotees, read from the Krishna book. So they asked him, which part's pastime? He said, everything is nectar, rasgulla, wherever you bite, sweet. So you read. So he opened the book, and it was at the pastime of Dhenukasurs. You know, began the pastime, he said, the cowherd boys are telling Krishna and Balaram, let us go and let us get some fruits. And Prabhupada's eyes opened wide like that. He says, he's got a brilliant smile on his face, his teeth like glistening pearls, you know. And he said, just see, for their sense gratification, the cowherd boys are using Krishna and Balaram. He says, go on, go on. He says, go on. So Krishna and Balaram enter there, and then Balaram tells Krishna, Balaram is feeling for a long time, you know. Mother Yashoda always tells me, take care of Krishna, take care of Krishna. I assure her, I'll take care of Krishna, I'll take care of Krishna. She says, Krishna is delicate, Krishna is so, his body limbs are so very fine and they can be easily hurt, and don't let even a drop of sweat appear on his brows. And Balaram says, I won't allow him to do any hard work. I'll constantly see that he has an air conditioner around, don't worry. But Balaramji never ever had the opportunity, because Krishna was always tightening his belt and getting into the midst of the action with Bakasur and Putana and Aghasur, and Krishna was always there. So with Dhenukasur, Balaram said, okay, wait. Let me fulfill Mother Yashoda's desire at least once. This time I will do the hard work. And secondly, he was thinking, this Dhenukasur is in the form of an ass, and Krishna should not deal with asses or with ass-like mentalities. Let me deal with this ass. So he entered the forest, and there he started, you know, with his strength, he started shaking the trees, and the tal fruit started falling down, dum, 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 big noise, and Dhenukasur was awoken up. Dhenukasur was actually appointed by Kamsa to take, it was Kamsa's garden, Kamsa's tal garden, and he was his appointed I mean, if you call him a guard, he'll get a little angry with us. Let us give him a post. He was the appointed superintendent. The superintendent of that forest, thank you. Yes. So Dhenukasura was angry, so he came running. And I've described this before, asses. I mean, he comes running all the way facing Balaram, and then asses can't kick with their front legs, so he has to stop, turn around. So why run so much anyways? But let us look at it from today's computer graphic, you know, technology. Now this is very interesting. Maybe he did not stop. You know, he comes zoom, 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 and then the CGG effects, CGI effects, you know. It turns like that, slow motion, you know, with full force, and then he goes, kicks Balaram in his chest. And Balaram hasn't had a massage for a long time, you know, especially. So it was good to have some acupressure there. And just dusts off, and so Dhenukasur, he tries again. He doesn't give up. He comes running the second time. But this time, Balaram just catches his hind legs, whirls him around. By that time, his
poor fellow. But at least he was fortunate because generally people require four others to carry them. Balaram, he was carried at least on two legs by Balaram. Ram Naam Satya hai. Already. At least Balaram, you know, some Ram Naam Satya hai. That was already done. Just by whirling around. Try it out sometimes. Just go whirling around, you know, sometimes in kirtan, you feel as if your pran is coming out. You know, after some time, it happens. Please don't do it. It is not recommended. But if you do like that, you'll have that experience. I'm speaking from experience. So please take the experience of an old person here and don't do it. It happens. The centrifugal force is so... What is the centrifugal? Not centrifugal force. Boom! It comes out. The life energy just comes out of the mouth or the nine holes that is there. So Dhenukasura was already dead. But Balaramji, what did he do? He picked up Dhenukasura's carcass and he threw it on one of a tall palm tree. And with its weight, the palm tree fell down and there was this domino effect. It was like, you know, sometimes there is a stand of cycles. You know, one cycle falls, everything goes... it is one of those scenes in the movie, you know, the villain falls on the cycle and anyone at the end also falls then, like that. So one tree fell on the other like that, few other trees fell. Now this was Balaram's way of telling Krishna, actually the trees are respecting you. You see, Krishna was telling him, these trees are bending down to respect you. So Balaram, because he's Bala, his strength, so he has to do something like that with his strength. So he made the trees fall down and say, they are now technically offering you respect, Krishna. See, that was in a bhava that you said. Now this is actually technically offering you respect. And then the associates, you know. This was Braj Bihari Prabhu 2005. He said the associates of Dhenukasura, they came running. Krishna also came in now and both had fun and you know, all the tall trees fell down completely. So Dhenukasura represents the tendency of being ignorant by taking on unnecessary information within our lives. Being ignorant about who is Krishna, being ignorant about what is devotional service, being ignorant about the holy name, being ignorant about one's own constitutional position. That is Dhenukasura. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur comments, there are so many other anarthas that we have, but this anartha of wanting to be ignorant by taking on so many unnecessary information, the so-called, as Prabhupada would say, PhDs, you know, so many ABCDs and PhDs, so many degrees, without putting Krishna in the center, that can only be overcome if one becomes determined to overcome it and say, no, Krishna, I want to be enlightened. Please give me mercy. And in that, with that determined desire, one calls out for Krishna's mercy. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, all the other anarthas except this one and another one that Paralambasura represents, they require us to do the work. The other anarthas, whatever hard work we do, it doesn't matter. They don't go away. Only Krishna's mercy directly removes it. But this anartha can only be removed when we make an effort and call out for Krishna's mercy. So Krishna's mercy will come, but when we make an effort. So we have to make an effort to remove the ignorance. We cannot say, na, Bhagwan chahenge to ho jayega. Bhagwan chahte hai, bhaiya kar lo. Right? So we have to make that effort to come out of that ignorance. We have to stop right now because Balaramji is waiting for his arati. There are various other beautiful pastimes of Balaram. And the tattva was very nicely discussed. So I will not be discussing anything more except that we have to offer prayers to Balaram. And there is a nice prayer that is there.
Kamat sada rakshatu dhenukari, krodhat sada mam dvivida prahari, lobhat sada rakshatu balvalarir, mohat sada mam kila magadhari.
This is a prayer to Balaram, which we can say. That, oh my dear Balaram, please free me from kam, from lust. Just as you killed Dhenukasura. Was so much fixed in this conception that this is only for the enjoyment of my master. So lusty that. Krodhat sadamam dvivida prahari. Dvivida was so angry Why is Balaram enjoying like this? He killed my friend, Narakasur. Right? So, Krodha, please remove my Krodha, my anger. Oh, killer of Dvida. Lobha sadha rakshatu balvalarir. Balvala was another demon killed by Balaram. And we pray to him as a killer of Balvala to remove our Lobha. Moha sadha mama keela magadhari. And Magadha, Naresh, was Jarasandha. And Balaram was instrumental when Krishna defeated him. He thought he had killed them on Praharshana hill, but they jumped off and went back to Dwarka. So similarly, please take us out of this fire of moha, illusion that is burning all around us. And, you know, with your potency, make us cross, jump over it and go. Or we can simply pray as Jagat, I think Bhurujan Prabhu and Jagadharini Mataji, they gave us this prayer. They mentioned that Prabhupada once told a devotee, the devotee was having wanted to really pray to Balaram to get some strength. So he said, just go to Balaramji and Krishna. He said, Gaur Nitai actually. And he said, my dear sirs, you know, because they are gentlemen, right? So he says, my dear sirs, this is my problem. Please do something about it. And simply by praying like that, Balaram will help. So, Balaram gives us strength, especially spiritual strength. Balaram represents a spiritual master. So, spiritual strength, strength to carry out the orders of the spiritual master comes from Balaram. And that is what we have to pray. My dear sir, we are not able to carry out the orders of a spiritual master. Please do something about that. So, Balaram will then give his mercy. And when his mercy comes through, then we have pleasure. That is Ram. Then we are satisfied. He is the reservoir of all pleasure. So, we stop there and Shidauji Bhagavan ki. Okay, there is a small announcement. Where did it go? Oh, I put it in my kurta pocket, sorry. Okay, there's a small. Okay, once Prabhupada was in Seattle in 1968, this is very interesting because now we've heard that there's prayer, but we did it so fast that. Kab aaya, kab gaya, pata nahi. You know, it was so fast motion. So once Prabhupada was in Seattle, he gave a very wonderful lecture. And after the lecture, he asked for questions. So one of the gentlemen from the crowd, he got up and said, I don't think that I need to bow down before anyone. I don't feel that I need to bow down before anyone. So Srila Prabhupada said, oh, so you have finally diagnosed your disease. He says, this is the disease. And he said, don't you bow down before the orders of your boss. He said, yes, but I don't feel like bowing down before a spiritual personality. So he says, okay. So you have to bow down before birth. You have to bow down before death. Disease, old age, bow down, you have to. But does that give you pleasure? Question is, bowing down before whom will give you pleasure? So bowing down before Balaram, because he's Ram, the reservoir of all pleasure, gives pleasure. Prabhupada said, Krishna. So we have a choice. Bow down before whom? Bow down, mister. This is a song by someone. Hare Krishna, Hare Rama.